Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Does anybody want to share anything from this last week about renewing your mind or how you've been dealing with your thoughts?
Seems like now that I know how to identify toxic thoughts that I seem to have quite a few more than I
I think we could all say join the club. But I think that it starts with awareness. As we talk about finding your place, I just want us to realize that we are created in the image of God. And so I want everybody to turn to the scripture in Genesis 1:26, even though you've read it a million times, I want us to read it with new eyes today, because as we've been studying about the mind and how important it is to renew our minds, when you look at yourself as you are created in God's image. So Genesis 1:26 and 27, I just want somebody to read that for me, please. Anybody, go ahead, belt it out.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Okay. So God created us after his likeness. Our brain is designed to be like God. And now science is figuring this out. They're catching up with the Bible. That we are created to think. That our minds are designed to walk in love. I mean, to think in love. We're wired for love. And the word says that God is love. And they've even determined what they call it is an optimism bias. That we are wired toward optimism and optimistic thinking and thinking positively about the way things are. The other things that we have learned, it's learned behavior. Because of circumstances that come and events that happen. But what's so amazing, what is so fantastic is that because of Romans 12:2, it says that we're not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by what?
The renewing
of our minds. So God has given us the ability to rewire our minds. And we do that because our mind is our brain. And this real estate between our ears is a huge part of our lives, of walking things out with God. If you understand how the mind works, then everything else is going to just come into peace and unity with God. And there's a place in every single person that's born in their brain that there's a place where God, there's a God space. I can't really explain it. There's a God space there, so that even if you are not born again, there's a knowing part on the inside of you, in here, that knows that you have a creator. And then when you come to the realization of it, and I just think about you, Skip, every time, about everything that you have in your brain. I've been thinking about you all week, about all of the stuff that you've learned over that 50-some-odd years, and what you trained and learned and grew, and all the branches that you have about not believing. And then what happens is that you take one thought, and you believe it, and it changes everything. Amen. And that's what I think about you.
Amen.
It changes everything. And so then what he gets to do is he starts reading the Word, he starts listening to the Word, and he starts building these other branches, and then all this other stuff just starts melting away. And so what he has is he has the memory of all of it so that he can use it as a testimony to tell other people. And he has the truth, and he has the anointing and the word, so that as it goes out, what does God do? When he speaks, he creates. When we speak, we create. And I know he could do a whole class and session on quantum physics and how it works, but how our words have power.
Yes.
The words that you speak, they're either going to bring death or they're going to bring life. And the power is on the inside of us. God has given us. We are like him. And I think that we've just been deceived by the devil so long to think that, well, I can't be like that, or that's new age.
Mm-hmm.
If I say what I want, then I'll get what I say? Really? That sounds kind of New Agey. But isn't that what God says? That's what He did. He created the earth. He created everything in it with His words. Everything He said, He created, and He's created us like that. So now as you're listening and as you're thinking, you think, you choose, and then you build. So right now, as you are listening to me, you're thinking, and you have about 10 seconds to choose whether you're going to believe what I say or not. And then you take 2 of those seconds, and it's going to actually build this little protein on a branch, on a neuron. It's going to start building. So as you're listening to me, and you're taking in the information, you're thinking to yourself, does she know what she's talking about? Can she really know what she's talking about? Or you can say, oh my gosh, if I start thinking right, and I start choosing to believe right, then what happens is that every thought makes a choice, which then makes a decision, which then it creates an action, which then develops a habit, and a habit develops your character, and your character develops your destiny, or actually is creating. That's what you do. It starts with a thought. That's why Jesus says, take no thought saying, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? And He says, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. And are you not more valuable to me than they are? So when you start taking that thought, God cares about me. God loves me. God wants me to have peace. God wants me to prosper. God wants me to have peace in my home. God wants me to be in health. He says, I would that you be in health and prosper, even as what? Your soul prospers. This right here between the ears has got to prosper in order for everything else in your life to come to pass. You can be born again. You can be born again with God's Spirit living on the inside of you and still be totally warped in the head.
Right.
I have friends who are Holy Ghost junkies. I mean, they want to go to every single meeting where the Holy Ghost is flowing, and they want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they do, and you can get drunk in the Holy Spirit, and it's the most wonderful feeling, isn't it? Don't we love it? Don't we love coming in the presence of God? But if it doesn't change you, it's worthless. It's worthless.
That's right.
Because God has called us to become like Him. And so what does that look like? We become His hands, we become His feet, we become His mouthpiece. Like Debbie was saying, our prayers, when you get that prayer request in an email,
right.
Pause, pray, and God moves. And it's 10 seconds. Psalms 139 says, I know your thoughts are far off. Just be thoughtful and mindful of it. A prayer for Trisha Huckabee could be, Lord, you know all things. You knit her together in her mother's womb. Heal her now. Touch her body in Jesus' name. It doesn't have to be, let me grab my Bible, let me go to my, let me get on my knees, let me pray. That's not it. Communication with God is like me communicating with you. He's with you. He's right here. He doesn't need a special audience. He doesn't need a special atmosphere. We create the atmosphere for God because we think about Him. And when we start thinking about Him, He comes into our presence. So when we think, we choose, we build. And it's so critical to take every thought captive, like it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. The stronghold is not the devil. The stronghold is the lies you believe that he's told you. The stronghold is the thought. That's what we build up. And that's what we have to tear down by renewing our mind to what God's Word says.
Tracy.
Yes?
In talking with Lori in the last couple of days, we've been talking about healthy thoughts and that, taking our thoughts captive. And I asked her, I said, how many times do you replay the different things that have been said? And, you know, how many times do you replay going to MD Anderson? How many times do you replay...
Right.
what this doctor said or what that doctor said, or your unhappiness about this, or the feelings that you had. How many times do you replay that in your head?
Right.
And she said, Mom, I haven't even thought about that, but I replay it in my head all the time.
Yes.
So that's what we started dealing with in the last couple of days, is
awesome.
Taking our thoughts captive, choosing not to replay that, not to think about it again, going somewhere else, going to praiseworthy thoughts,
yes.
The things that are lovely.
Amen.
Not any of the stuff that's been said or experienced.
Yes.
A lot of it's experienced,
sure.
Too.
Of course.
And it was a new awakening for her,
awesome.
To realize that was going on. She was replaying it without even realizing,
exactly.
You're doing it. It's
right.
Just there.
Exactly.
It just keeps going on like a video.
Exactly. So it's that fear that comes up, that fear is what brings up all that toxic,
yes.
The toxicity that's already on the inside of us. And so what we need to do is recognize it, because we have the power to change it.
Get rid of it.
And so one of the things I wrote down, God just said, it says, we must become aware of what we are allowing into our minds through our five senses. The pictures that you see,
right.
The words that you read, they're all important. No thought entering the mind should ever go unchecked. And if you go back to 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, I hope that by now you have it underlined and highlighted, because I feel like it's very significant. If we look at it in light of not so much of giving, what I found is just not giving the devil so much attention and power, because Jesus came and defeated the devil, and he has given all power to us. And he said, the works that I do, he says, I want you to do those in greater works. And I want to be able to take responsibility for that and say, I want to be able to do that, Lord. Where does it start? It starts in my thinking. It starts in my believing. Am I believing that what I believe, what I read that Jesus did, that I'm going to be able to do that? The miracles, walking into a place and seeing something happen and being able to lay hands on him. And I mean, doing what Jesus did. And that's what he told us to do. And I believe that we become so watered down because the devil has convinced us through life and circumstances that we have no power. So until we change our mind and start renewing our mind to what God says, we're going to be weak and ineffective. Because, and you even taught, Maggie, that the word was followed by signs and demonstrations of power, that the word is powerful. So that as it goes forth, then there's demonstration of what the word is to do. So as we're sitting here and we're thinking about what I'm saying, the choice then is, what am I going to do about this toxicity that's on the inside of me? How do I change it? And we've all, I mean, if you've been coming to church here for very long, you know that it's going to be because of the word that you receive and believe. So as you start listening, what's happening? So let's say one of the toxic thoughts that I have is, I don't know if it's so much toxic, but it's something I'm dealing with right now, is procrastination. I'm a procrastinator about doing things that I really don't want to do, or, you know, just putting it off. Do any of you put things off that you just don't, thank God I'm not alone. Okay. So it's something that I can just put aside, but it ends up hurting me in the end. Let me just tell you a quick story about that. So last week, a guy emailed me. It was the holiday. It was a Monday, the holiday. He emailed me. He needed me to send him books overnight. So they couldn't go out on Monday because it was a holiday. They needed to go out on Tuesday. So I'm thinking, great, no problem. I'm going to forward that email to my mom because she'll be in the office on Tuesday. I've got to go to San Antonio and have my car worked on. So I procrastinated and didn't forward the email. Right then, why didn't I push the button and just hit forward and get it to her? How long would that have taken? 30 seconds or less? So I didn't do that. So I went to San Antonio. There was this consciousness on the inside of me of, like, Holy Spirit's telling me, you forgot to do something, but it wouldn't come to me because it wasn't in my part of my memory, because I put it off in less than 30 seconds. I'm like, okay, I'll take care of that. Well, Wednesday morning, my mom checks my emails because I have Trenton on Wednesdays, and that's my day is with him. I mean, there's nothing else happening except what he and I are doing. So she calls me, and she says, I saw this email in your box, and were we supposed to overnight books to him? And he was supposed to get them today, right? So I can't tell you the sickness, the how horrible and how awful I felt. And so then I thought about Frankie, about how fast we're going to eat our crow, and call the man and say, oh my God, I've made a huge mistake. I forgot to forward, you know, just take responsibility for it and just let him know what happened. But the feelings that I had when Mom called me about it, there was so much emotion attached to it. And so now that I've realized, it's like, why is there so much emotion attached to this? And how I'm feeling about her calling me, and how I'm feeling about myself, and just telling myself, I'm going to take responsibility for my mistake. Even though there was a part of me that was just mad. I was mad about it. And it's so I called James, and I said, James, I said, I have to ask you to forgive me right now. He says, the books aren't coming today, are they? I'm like, no, I'm so sorry. I said, I made a mistake. I forgot to forward your email to my mom. And so what can I do? You tell me what you would like for me to do to make this right for you. He was so gracious. He was so amazing. And he says, well, I'm going to be at this resort this coming weekend. Just have the book sent to me there. Make sure I get them by Friday. I'm like, no problem. Call Mom. Text Mom. Forward the email. Let's make sure we get those books to him. But my point in telling you that whole story was in that period of time, now that I'm aware of what my thoughts are doing to me and what the toxic thoughts are doing on the inside of me, and when I'm having that feeling of fear and anger, that it's poison. It's poisoning me. Physically, I'm telling you, there's chemicals released in you that are poisoning your body. That's why it's so important to take responsibility for what's going on the inside of you, because it's hurting you. And you remember the saying, it says, unforgiveness is like taking poison, waiting for the other person to die. Yeah. Well, that's what happens with any of it. Anytime you have fear that rises up on the inside of you, if it's anxiety, anything that is not lined up with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, if it's not one of those things, it's the root is fear. I mean, even pride hides. Fear is the root of it. Fear is the root of pride. Fear, if you look at every single thing that comes up that's not out of love, fear is going to be the root of it. So you have to ask yourself, what am I afraid of? I'm afraid of disappointing people. I'm afraid of looking bad. I'm afraid, which is pride, but it's all fear, right? So if we say, I'm afraid of this, then what? How do we, so that's the toxicity. So here's how the thought started, however long ago it started, right? Because we're constantly building thoughts. So here I have this tree that comes up, and I'm building this thought. And so as I'm thinking, I'm either going to choose to add to this tree that's creating this anxiety on the inside of me and this disappointment and anger and all the things I'm feeling, I can either build more on it and meditate on it. And how do we build a tree? We think, we choose, we build. So I had a determination. How am I going to choose to deal with this? I have to forgive myself. Right now I'm going to forgive myself. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I can allow myself to make mistakes. I forgive myself. Then I appreciate my mom that she comes up behind me and that she helps me in our business and that she is a huge gift to me. And I just started praising, thanking God for those things. So as I'm doing that, really what's happening is I am building a healthy thought in its place of gratitude, praise, thanksgiving, all of the things that are going to release the happy things on the inside of me, that are going to create freedom and peace. How many of you in here could use some peace? How many of you like peace? I mean, to me, peace is the land we want to dwell in. I like my happy little world. This last week, Dwayne and I were going somewhere in the truck together, not very far. We never hardly travel together unless we're going a long distance. But we were in the truck, and he had his radio on, Sirius Radio on Fox News. And I had heard little bits and pieces, but I don't listen to the news. I don't listen to all that stuff. I just don't, because I like my happy world. I don't want to get all entangled in something that I can't do anything about. Now, if it's something that I can do something about and take responsibility, I'll do that. But typically, when you're talking about the Speaker of the House, now, what's the guy's name who speaks for the President?
Jay Carney.
Yeah, what's he?
Press secretary.
So I'd heard little bits and pieces about all this stuff and happening, and just, you know, Dwayne has it on all the time, so I'd walk through and I'd hear a little bit here and there, but I don't care. So why? So we get in the truck, and so they're talking about it again, and, you know, they like to just rehearse it over and over, and they come up with all the reasons, and they're surmising, and they're speculating, and they're theorizing about why. So I asked Dwayne, I said, so what do you think? You know, they're playing. I'm like, what do you think? What do you think about this whole thing? He said, I think he got tired of lying to the public, to the people. I think he got tired of lying. I don't think his conscience could handle it anymore. He got tired of all the lies. I'm like, well, there you go. So now he's got to replace him, and who's he going to replace him with? So we had this little conversation, but he's like, you mean you don't know? You haven't been listening? I'm like, honey, I truly could care less. It doesn't impact me. It's not affecting me. There's nothing I can do about that man except to pray for him and pray that as he does step down, that maybe he will come to an understanding about God and how God wants to use him. Now, that just triggered something else that I wrote down. God has implanted in us a divine sense of purpose, and toxic thinking will literally block this purpose from being released. So let's say this man, every one of us have conscience. We all have conscience. So as he's being told what to say, and it doesn't line up, it's not lined up with his conscience or his, let's say, what's it called, your...
Philosophy.
I'm sorry?
Philosophy.
Not philosophy, but your moral compass. Because there's part of that in every single person. It's just whether or not you choose to sear it or not. So he has that on the inside of him, but let's say that it just got to a point where his, you know, the bending of his moral compass was just more than what he could take. He just couldn't do it anymore and be okay with it. How many of you have ever been in that place? Where you're just like, I just can't do this anymore. It's not right. It doesn't feel right. So I just can't do it. And then you have to make a stand, right? And how many of you know how hard it is to make a stand? Because usually when you do that, then there's going to be a fight. I don't like fights. I run from fights and confrontation, don't I? If I even feel the rise of any kind of fight. Dixie knows this because we have a friend who's all about the fight. And not really, it's verbal. You know, it's all about getting heated up about something and getting all in your face and being real rowdy about it. And that just causes me to just go into panic and run. Panic and run! So my adrenal system works really good in that it's like fight or flight, I'm flying.
Yeah.
She's the fighter, I'm the flyer. And so Dixie's a really great mediator of that because she doesn't mind it at all. And she takes it all in stride and she knows how to just bring it and take the little chick and, you know, melt the feathers down. It's all good. So my point in that is saying that we all have that part of God on the inside of us. And so when we become born again, it actually connects us so that our spirit gets connected with God's spirit. So then it's God's spirit affecting our spirit, which should be affecting our mind. So our soul part of us is our mind, right? Our will, our emotions, our intellect. It's the part of us that's the thinking part of us. And we can actually stand outside of ourselves and look at the whole situation. And one of the examples that I heard was, it's like being in a helicopter over a huge forest, and as you're looking over it, you're seeing all the trees, and you can actually see the ones as you're above it, the ones that have burned up, you know, or something, diseases happen to them because they look different. And when they look at our brains in this, however they do it with their imaging, the toxic thoughts really look different. They don't look like the healthy, flourishing trees. And so I'm hoping, I didn't know Johnny was teaching Sunday school, but maybe in a couple of weeks, I'm going to try to get a PowerPoint together so you can actually see, like we can shoot it up on the board, so you can actually see these images of what your thoughts look like. Do you understand? It's physical matter. As we are thinking, we are really building physical real estate here between our brains. Stuff is creating, and as we think, it changes. Your brain is constantly changing. Constantly changing as you're thinking. So now we just take responsibility for our thoughts. That's our job. Take responsibility for your thoughts. Now, you know the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart,
so is he.
So as we find out what God's word says about us, it's our responsibility to believe it. And that's how we change how we perceive ourselves and change it to how God sees us. So as we start meditating, and so that's what I've started doing every day, is meditating on the word, finding out what does the word say about me? What does the word say about my husband? What does the word say about my children? What does the word say about our life, our success, our businesses? What does God say about it? And so I'm just replacing all of those things because fear wants to come in. Fear wants to come in and say, look at your son. Look at what he's doing. So if I look at the natural, what's going to happen? Fear's going to try to come in. But if I say, I don't have to look at what I see. I can see what God's word says. And every time I do it, I'll see a little bit of fruit in what my prayers are. Because remember, as we speak, we're creating. Our words are creating. So when I'm speaking the word over Dwayne and how I see him, according to the word and not according to my natural's eyes, God's word is working in his life, right? God's word is working. And James 1:21 says that it's the word that is able to save our souls. This is what needs the saving, right? Our soul, our spirit, man, it's born again, it's saved, it's full of life. It's just taking that life and getting it into between the ears here, bringing life. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
One thing.
Please.
You mentioned that eating crow a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a message I preached way back. And it was eating crow don't taste bad if it's cooked right. Such an important part you said with the book thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you did, you repented. When you called man, then you took it out and you repented, and instantly then the toxicity stops.
Yeah.
Well, I've been preaching on that a lot.
Right.
That's why it's so important to repent there, therefore, so that your joy may be complete.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that puts you right back in the right track.
Awesome.
But you did exactly what you had to do.
Right.
And don't beat yourself up that you didn't do it. Right. Learn from that. Repent.
And the other thing is Pastor preached about this on Wednesday night about repentance. And if you look up repentance in the Greek, it means change your mind. Metanoia. It means change your mind. Repent means change your mind. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it's our responsibility. And so when we repent of thinking that thought, we're changing our mind. We're turning around. We're saying, okay, I'm not going to think like that. So it's just our responsibility to take the thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and that's Christ, taking it, it's to his word. And saying, okay, I'm going to take this captive because God's word says, he shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen?
You know,
who else?
Something else that yes. Robert said the other night was, you know, talking about sin. Of course, we think sin is the
right.
Great smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that. You know, anything that doesn't line up with the word of God is sin.
Exactly right.
Anything that we're not thinking right is sin.
It's true.
And so, you know, it's just missing the mark
yeah.
of what God's best is for.
Exactly.
Renewing our mind today.
Yes, I agree. Awesome. Skip.
I'd like to point something out. I think Satan is an expert at twisting
God's word. You know, my mind is analytical.
Yes, right.
And I love his words when, you know, you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and it's, you know, in this passage you gave us in 2 Corinthians, it's the same thing. He does not, I think that we have a tendency to believe that we've got the Holy Spirit in us, and he's going to keep those thoughts from coming.
Right.
Right? Yeah. He doesn't say that.
Right.
He doesn't say don't have those thoughts. He says don't take those thoughts. There's a whole difference. Take means bring into yourself possession of.
Right.
He says, and bringing into captivity every thought. He doesn't say don't have the thoughts. He says bring them into captivity. So when you have the Holy Spirit in you, he helps you to not take them into captivity. He doesn't say he helps you to never have them.
Right.
So don't blame yourself or God because you're still having them. Just deal with them.
Exactly.
With what he says.
Amen.
Like when he says,
it's not a sin to be tempted.
My life, of course, is... But, you know, the scripture, I mean, talking about a lot of stuff, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Yes.
And when I was younger with, you know, all this craziness that I went through, you know, say, and then, you know, depression, anxiety, my mother was in the mental hospital, and I said, God, I want to be double-minded.
Amen.
You know, I want, you know, my mind, you know, when you think about, oh, I can do this, I can do that, because God, I don't want to be double-minded. Because I've seen the result of double-mindedness, and it's not pretty.
No. Yeah, because it says a double-minded man will receive nothing, right? It was he will receive nothing from the Lord because he can't. He
won't, I want this, I want that, I want this.
Yeah, he won't be and focused then, on what he wants.
You don't know what you want.
How can God say, well, okay, you tell God what, you know, Father, I thank you that you provide, this is what you provide for me, and then you're going, okay, but then I want, and he's like, okay, well, my angels are going to work over here, but now you're taking me over here, and he's like, you don't even know what you want. I can't even work on your behalf.
Well, because.
All right, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you for your word. I thank you that as your word goes forth, that it will not return void without accomplishing what you sent it forth to do, because it is living, active, and powerful. And I just praise you and thank you for every person that's here. I thank you as we go forth this week that we're going to take responsibility, we're going to renew our minds, and we're going to be more like you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.